Say that we really appreciate y'all having us down. We've been to several places. I don't go out and preach all the time, you know, but been to several places, and y'all have been such a blessing to us just the last couple times that we've been able to be down here, and been able to come down and see visitors and different things, and especially eating good food. You can tell by looking at me that that's real important to me. So I've told several people, I've said, man, they know how to cook really good down here in Mississippi, especially seafood and all that fish. And it's really good, and we really do appreciate the opportunity to be here, and thank you for allowing me to come down and preach. It wasn't too many years ago, about 8 years ago at this time, I was still lost, and it's hard for me to stand up and not remember whenever I stand where I used to be and where the Lord brought me from. And still amazing to me that people even want me to preach in their pulpits, you know, to be honest with you. But I'm thankful for the opportunity and glad to be able to preach to you what the Lord's laid on my heart. And I don't just go and, you know, choose a message out of a hat and preach it. I really do prepare and try to find the mind of the Lord, what He'd have me to say to you, because I believe that's my responsibility as a preacher, is not just to get up and talk, but to actually say what the Lord would want me to say. And that's what I've tried to do this week. As best as I know how. 2 Peter chapter 3. This morning we taught in Sunday school about how we ought to have unity, and we preached this morning about us being the people of God, and that we are a certain people, that we're not just any kind of people, that we belong to the Lord. And I want to preach about that a little bit tonight as well. Out of 2 Peter chapter 3, I have a bunch of verses to read, and I don't have much written down for me to say. That doesn't mean I can't say a whole lot anyway. I can. But I'm going to try to move through this. I don't know how long I'll be, but I don't think I'll be very long tonight. I'm going to try to get my time down here so I know where I'm at. But this message that I have for you tonight is so important, not because I'm preaching it, but because it's what the Bible says and the days that we're living in. And we'll begin reading here in verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, this is our text phrase, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Father, I pray that you bless the reading of your word tonight, and that you'd help me to help these people, Father, according to your will, that I would have clarity of speech and clarity of thought to be able to preach the message that you've laid on our heart. I pray, Father, that you'd take it and use it for this church as they move forward. I pray, Father, that you'd bless their endeavors and bless their outreach, bless their witness, and bless their new pastor as he comes in. Pray, Father, you'd fill this place up with young families and young people that get saved, Father, and that want to live for you. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think it's really any mystery at all that the days of darkness are upon us. There's never been a day where the world as a whole, and definitely America, and even our community, if you just look at Amory, I've not been to Amory but just a few times, but you all have lived here your whole life. I don't think there's been any day where people have been as unprepared to meet the Lord as they are now. Church people are unprepared to meet the Lord. Lost people are unprepared to meet the Lord. Saved people and people that claim that they're preachers, those who are deacons and leaders in our community, I think we're as far away as we have ever been as a country from the Lord. I think I can read history and we can see that. There are many reasons why that is. The churches have forsaken the true gospel. He tells us in 2 Timothy 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. At His appearing and His kingdom, preach the Word. We've definitely gotten away from that in these days. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. That time that he's talking about in 2 Timothy 4, that they will not endure sound doctrine, that time has come. He says in 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, the whole list there. I think I can say to you on the authority of the world that we live in and the Word of God that that time is also upon us. We're living in the perilous times of the last days. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 9 through 13, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I think we can look at our world and look at what Jesus said there. I think we can say with full confidence that this time that he's talking about is upon us. We're told here in Peter that as we see that all these things are going to be dissolved, we're told in Matthew and in the book of Luke that as we see the times drawing near, then we ought to lift up our head, for our redemption's drawing nigh. We're told here in Peter that we, what manner of persons we ought to be, and that's the title for the message tonight. What manner of persons ought ye to be? In these days of darkness, it is more important that the church of God be what God has designed and desired for them to be than it ever has been. If the world is worse than it ever has been, then the people of God should be standing straighter. They should be standing more pure and more holy than they ever have. They should be more faithful than they've ever been. They should be more of a witness than they've ever been. As the world gets darker, the light of God's children should shine brighter in the world that we live in. He says, ye are the light of the world. If you don't shine, there's nobody that's going to shine. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. If you're not salt, nobody's going to be salt. You're the salt. You're the light. If you don't be the light that God has made you to be, there's no other light for the world that we live in. What manner of persons ought ye to be? We live in this world where we think that nobody should put any expectations on us, especially younger people and younger families. We don't want anybody telling us how we ought to live, how we ought to treat others, how we ought to guide our lives, how we ought to handle our finances. But God has something in mind as a type of person that He wants you to be and that He says you ought to be. I believe the writer to be Paul there in the book of Hebrews. He says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. We live in a time where everybody's like, well, I'm just going to do what I do and you just leave me alone. But God has an expectation for you. God has expectations for what you ought to be. And as the days draw on and as the darkness gets closer and as the persecution gets closer and closer, then it is more important now than ever that you be who you ought to be according to the Scripture. Judgment is very soon to fall on this world. I believe that. I believe it's already started. The judgment that we're experiencing now is nothing compared to what's coming. But it's still bad just as it is. The division that is in this country that we have, this country has fought a civil war before, and I don't think it was as divided as it is now. As full of lies and wickedness as it is now. I truly believe that I've never seen a time when churches are filled with so much false doctrine, so many false professions, so many false teachers as they are now. It's more important now than ever that you be who ye ought to be according to the Word of God. That's what he's saying. Seeing then. You see, we should know what perspective we ought to have as the people of God. He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, looking for and hasting unto. Verse number 14, nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. One of the most frustrating things about living in the last days and preaching in the last days is that people just can't seem to see it like it is. It seems like to me, as I read the scripture and as I look around, and it seems like to those who serve the Lord that things are so bad and so terrible, but it seems like everybody's just going on, not even knowing what's happening. It seems like destruction is just around the corner, that judgment is about to fall, and people are going about their merry way as if nothing is going to happen. That's convinced me more than ever that we're living in the days that Jesus talked about, as it was in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. But as the people of God, that's not the perception, the perspective we're supposed to have. We're not supposed to be blind. It's coming. The day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night for those who are lost. That's how it's supposed to be. But there are many churches and many church people, many young people, many older people that are going to be caught completely unawares whenever the Lord returns. You ought to have a different perspective than the world does. We ought to have a godly perspective. It seems like we can't really see the danger anymore like people used to in days past. We don't see the danger of Hollywood anymore. We've gotten used to it. Don't see the danger of the internet, of social media. We don't see the danger of false teachers and false doctrine and fellowshipping with those that are obviously not following what the Bible says. They obviously don't have the doctrines that the Bible teaches. He still says in Romans 16, if they teach anything contrary to the doctrine of Christ, to mark them and avoid them. I don't care if they're your buddy or if they're your friend or if they're nice to you. We ought to have a godly perspective, not my human perspective, but a godly perspective. It's more important now that you know who false teachers are and who they are not than it ever has been. False teachers and false doctrine is more deceptive now than it ever has been. It's most of the time the same doctrines, most of the time the same theories, but it's more deceptive than it's ever been. They've got better ways of putting it than they ever have. They've got better ways of deceiving the people of God than they ever have. It's more important now than ever that you have a godly perspective. The world that your grandchildren are growing up in is not the world you grew up in. There's things that people used to be able to do and it seemed to be okay. Can't do those things anymore. They're filled with wickedness and ungodliness. There's things you used to be able to wear because of the society that we lived in that you can't wear anymore. There's a bunch of perverts walking around. A bunch of wicked people walking around in our society. There's places you used to allow your children to be able to go. Places they used to go and they would be safe and they can't go there anymore. Because we live in a wicked and in a violent society. That is forsaken the Lord. It's more important now than it's ever been that you be who God wants you to be. Do you understand? Do you really have any perspective on the type of person that God wants you to be? What God's expectations are of you? I'm telling you, if you don't read this Bible, if all you do is you come to church and you don't open the Bible and you don't read it and you don't study it, you have no idea the type of person that God wants you to be. Some people don't read the Bible because it puts down their spirit a little bit. It cuts at them. That's what it's doing. There's a man up there in Hodgenville. He's supposed to be a Baptist preacher, missionary Baptist, supposed to be. And he said, I don't really study the Bible that much. He said, it really dampens my spirit, is what he said. Dampens the spirit. If the spirit you got is dampened by the Word of God, you've got the wrong spirit. If the spirit you have, if the joy that you have, if the happiness that you have has its legs cut out from under it by the Word of God, you've got the wrong joy and the wrong spirit, the wrong way of thinking about things. It's more important now than ever that you raise your family according to the Word of God, that you build your future according to the Word of God. It's more important now than ever. Before I was saved, then I had no desire to get married, had no desire to have children or any of those things. It's kind of what lost people are like nowadays. But whenever I got saved, I had a desire to get married and have children. That was my desire. I didn't want those things before I got saved. But I didn't just want to find anybody to get married to. And I was so young in the Lord and so dumb and still am. And I said, Lord, I don't even know who to choose to get married without you helping me. I didn't want to live the rest of my life miserable. I didn't want to live the rest of my life fighting like cats and dogs. And the Lord did that. He sent my wife by and thought that's what the Lord wanted me to do. And I prayed about it for several weeks and asked her dad. And I was 27 years old. I didn't have to ask anybody. I could go out on whatever date I wanted to. Had my own job and my own money. But I asked her dad if it'd be all right if we talked. And we ended up getting married. I'm so happy I did it that way. I could have done it my own way. I could have looked at it my own way and said, well, I've been out in the world and I talked to my pastor about that. I've been out in the world and I don't think it's right for me to marry somebody that's been living holy and been living right all of these years. I think that I'll mess things up. I could have gone by my own perspective. But I had a biblical perspective because I wanted what God wanted me to have. You can do that with every part of your life, and it's more important now than it's ever been that you live your life according to the perspective of the Word of God. What perspective we ought to have as the people of God. He says, seeing then. People just don't see things right anymore. I don't know. I think my dad has said that several times while he's been preaching. He said, I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you. I can't see it for you. I can't open your eyes for you. I can't make you see what's going on in the world that's around here. But if you get into this Word of God and you begin to study and you begin to read, then you'll begin to see things the way that God sees them. That's how we ought to be as the people of God. Not just who I want to be, but that's who we ought to be. That's who we should be. It's possible for you and it is expected of you that you be what God says you ought to be. What perspective we ought to have. It's more important now than ever that we look at things the right way. That we look at things with the discernment of the Spirit of God. Because there's more deception, as we said, than there's ever been. If you don't have the discernment of God, if you don't have a prayer life for you and your family, the devil and the world will take things from you without you even knowing about it. They'll deceive you, they'll twist your mind up and twist up your way of thinking so bad, you won't even know that they're taken from you. It's more important now than ever that we have a godly perspective. Not only the perspective we ought to have, but the purpose that we ought to have. He says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. The world we live in is wrapped up in temporary things that are not going to last. Most churches, most families, most young men, most grandmas and grandpas, to be honest with you, their lives are wrapped up in things that God hates and God wants to destroy most of the time. Or things that are just simply not going to last. They're temporary. It's more important now than it has ever been that we as the people of God have an eternal purpose, not a worldly purpose. Not just having a new house, and I'm thankful for all of those things. I'm thankful for nice cars and for houses and a good place to live. But that should not be our purpose as the children of God. That is the purpose of the world. Our reason for living most of the time is no reason at all. That's why suicide among young people is higher than it's ever been. It's an epidemic. Drug overdose, drunkenness, alcoholism, it's at an all-time high. We live in the most technologically advanced society, supposed to be, that has ever lived, but we're the most unhappy, the most violent, the most aimless people that have ever existed. Our young people and our young families seem to have no purpose. They get married, they have a few children. The statistics say that the average marriage lasts about 8 years. They get about 8 years in, they've done everything that they said they wanted to do, and they think, well, it's just not working anymore, and they call it quits, and they go on to the next person. And then they go on to the next, and then they go on to the next. No purpose and no fulfillment. But it's more important as the people of God that we're not that way. We have an eternal purpose no matter what's happening in the world around us. No matter how many of our friends, I've had people that I grew up with get divorced in the past, 4 years or so. That's not the direction we're taking. That doesn't mean that things don't happen. I've seen situations, and especially women, they need to get out of it. I understand. There's things like that. I'm not down about those things. But as God's people, especially if you're not married or if you're just gotten married or you're young, it's more important now that you put your perspective where it ought to be, so you avoid some of the mistakes that others have made, so that you avoid some of the paths that others have taken. It's more important now that you understand what it means to have a godly purpose in your marriage and in your home than it ever has. If you don't have that, you can't survive in these days. If you don't have the Lord as the center of your life and of your family, you're not going to make it in these days. These are days like we've never faced before. We're on the very edge of judgment, on the very edge of the wrath of God, and only those who can endure, only those are the ones who are saved. We're not saved by our endurance, but the endurance is the mark of those who are saved in the last days. We're living in a time where very few can endure, it seems like. They fall by the wayside constantly. We'll read those verses here in just a few minutes, but we are living in the days of the great falling away. We ought to have an eternal purpose. Your world shouldn't be wrapped up in things that are going to be dissolved. That doesn't mean we don't have to do things. We have to work. We have to make money. It's a labor sometimes, and it's frustrating sometimes. We have to interact with others. You got to go grocery shop. You got to go do all of these things. But your world can't be wrapped up in that. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. We don't belong to this world, and we don't belong to be entangled in those affairs. We belong to the Lord. It's more important now than ever that you have a godly purpose. If you don't have a godly purpose, you're not going to make it. There have been many who thought they could just skate by, just come to church as a haphazard thing, just show up and leave, punch their time card, as we said this morning, and punch out whenever the service is over, live the rest of their life to the world and to the flesh the rest of the week, and they can't make it. Can't make it in these days. If you ever have been able to make it, I don't know if you ever have been able to, but definitely in these days, you can't. If you don't have a godly purpose for your children, and many of you, your children are grown already, your grandchildren, but you got to have a godly focus for your children. If they're going to make it in these days, have you really seen how the world has focused and the devil has focused on our children? How they have set their sights even on them from a young age? They want to catch them whenever they're young, watching cartoons on YouTube or watching little videos or whatever it is. They want to corrupt their mind from a very young age. They're attacking them with an all-out assault. If you don't have a godly purpose for your children, for your grandchildren, they're not going to make it in these days. It's just not possible. The devil has all of his guns, all of his armaments set in array against our families and against our little children. He wants to corrupt their mind and their heart. If he can get them from a young age, very difficult for them to get saved. The purpose we ought to have as the people of God, it's more important now that our purpose be different than the world's. The path that we ought to have. He said, hasting unto the coming of the day of God. 1 John 2:6 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. In this time, very few people want to walk as the Lord walked. They don't want to follow his steps. But they'll get upset at you if you have any doubts that they're abiding in him. But he says if they say that they abide in him, they ought to walk as he walked. That's what the Bible says. That's not what I say. That's what the Bible says. Whenever I have questions about somebody and they say, well, you can't judge me by what I do, what else am I supposed to judge by? If you're not walking as he walked, how am I supposed to know that he abides in you? Now, what I know, thankfully, or for some people maybe unthankfully, doesn't save them. What I know doesn't save them. But you start going crossways with the Scripture and with the Word of God and start saying you're saved, you're headed down the path to a reprobate mind. We live in a time where people just simply don't want to follow the path that God wants us to follow anymore. Our families and our young people have given up on the old time way. They said, well, that's for the old people, that's for the old fogies. But they've forgotten that it's not just the old time way, it's God's way. It's God's way of doing things. It's God's way of living. It's God's way of talking. It's God's way of dressing. It's God's way of running your family. It's God's way of working and all of those things. People don't think anything about Brother Ernest was talking about today at lunch. Don't think anything about working all day on Sunday and never showing up to church. Don't think anything at all. Well, they got an extra shift. I'll make double money. I better go in. People don't think anything about it. People used to reverence the Lord's Day. They used to think about the Lord's Day, and they used to plan to rest on that day and to honor the Lord, even if they weren't saved, as he said. People used to not work even if they was lost. We're on a different path than we've ever been. This country is not going the same direction that it started out on. I can tell you that. Our communities are not headed in the same direction that they started out on. All the liberals and all the progressives can say that we're just moving on down the road of progression all they want to, but this country has turned away from the path that established it. Our churches have turned away from the path that God blessed and that God loves. Our families have turned away from it, and we're paying for it in our children. They're dying by the droves, by committing suicide, by overdoses, by all kinds of other things. I mean, our young people are just being slaughtered all throughout our country by all of these mental diseases that they have, all of the psychologists messing up their minds. It's more important now than ever that we follow the path that God says we ought to follow. This is the way you ought to go. This is what is best for you. This is what I want for you. This is the direction that you ought to walk. He says in Ephesians 2, if you remember wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the way that the world has been walking for hundreds and thousands of years. That's not the way that God's people ought to be walking. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. I'm not asking if you're perfect like Jesus. I'm asking if you're pure like Jesus. If you're holy like Jesus, if you love like Jesus loved, if you stand on the truth like Jesus did, if you're not afraid like Jesus was not afraid. Our path is on a crash course with the judgment seat of Christ. Those who have served the Lord, whose love has been perfected in Him, they're looking forward to that day. Doesn't mean they'll stand there with no regrets. We'll all have some regrets. But they know that that day, He says, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Not brashness, not pride, not some kind of self-arrogance, but because we have served the Lord, because we have walked as best we know how His way, we have searched His Word and we have followed His Word, then we know when we stand before Him that we have pleased Him. Not because we've done what we want to, but because He, what He wants us to. We've done what He wants us to. Our path ought to be always with that judgment seat in mind. The most carnal people in the Scripture you find in the book of Hebrews and in the book of 1 Corinthians. In both of those, then they are addressed as being carnal. They are addressed as not being where they ought to be with the Lord. He says, for when for that time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. He said, you've regressed from where you ought to be, he said to the Hebrews. He said to the Corinthians, for ye are yet carnal. And both of those books, 1 Corinthians and Hebrews, have the most clear descriptions of what the judgment seat is going to be like. Carnal people need to know about the judgment seat. They need to think about it. You need to let it weigh on your mind and on your heart that at any moment, at any time, whether it's the moment you walk out this door, you may not make it through the next week. You may be standing before the Lord before I even finish the message. You never know. That ought to weigh on our mind. It ought to guide what manner of persons we ought to be. That's what he's talking about here in Peter. The judgment of God is on the way. Get ready. That's what he's saying. We also see here in 2 Peter the purity we ought to have. So we've seen the perspective we ought to have, the purpose we ought to have, the path we ought to have, the purity we ought to have. He says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him without spot, in peace, without spot, and blameless. He says in verse number 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? It's more important now that you be pure than it ever has been. It's easier now to be defiled than it ever has and to excuse it. Well, that's the world we're living in, brother. That's what people say. Well, I can't help it. That's the word. I'm doing the best that I can. But we seem to have lost our understanding. We seem to have lost the desire to be pure, as he tells us in 1 John, even as he is pure. Every man that hath this hope in him, that hope of being made like Jesus, that hope of being exactly like he wants us to be, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. We've lost that. We don't purify ourselves. We defend ourselves. I mean, if anybody accuses us of anything, doesn't matter if we're caught dead to rights. We'll defend and lie. No, I did not mean it that way. I did not. We're not humble anymore as the people of God. We're not desiring anymore to be pure. We don't go to the Lord as Job did and say, Lord, maybe I did do it in the wrong spirit. I don't know. My heart is deceitful above all things, as every man's heart is. We have no humility and no purity anymore. I would say because we have no humility, then we have no purity. If you remember Isaiah in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 6, Isaiah was a prophet from a young age. I've said that many times. He had served the Lord under Uzziah and under Zechariah. He had grown up in a time not when people were worshiping false idols, but when people were worshiping the one true God in Israel. He had served the Lord. It's very possible that his dad was a prophet as well. He had served the Lord since his youth. And yet, whenever Uzziah died, whenever Isaiah was an older man, Uzziah died and he saw the Lord high and lifted up. When he saw the Lord, he said, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Because we have no vision of the Lord, we have no understanding of how holy he is, because we have no humility to bow before him, then we have no purity anymore in the churches. No purity of mind, no purity of heart, no purity of intention. Everything that the church wants to do, it's like cats and dogs fighting just to go in a certain direction. There's no desire there, no fire there from the Lord, no fire from the Spirit of God. Dad wants to go a certain direction and mom doesn't want to go that way. Dad wants to serve the Lord or mom wants to serve the Lord and dad doesn't. However it is, it's all turmoil and chaos because we have no biblical purity in our hearts and in our homes anymore. He says, in all holy conversation and godliness. It's really important how you speak. It's really important the things you say. It's really important how you treat your wife and how you treat your children, how you treat your husband and how you treat your brothers in Christ, how you treat your pastor that's coming in, how you treat those who say that they're the children of God and how you treat those who are lost. It's very important that your conversation be holy now more than ever. In a time when conversation is so wicked, it is so crass, it's so repulsive. You can't listen to anything anymore without them cussing up a storm constantly. We live in a time where nobody has any kind of respect or any kind of manners when it comes to their speech. It's more important now than ever that the people of God have holy, pure conversation. Godly conversation. It's very rare now that I talk to a young man or dad or anything, and they want to talk about the Lord. They want to talk about everything else. You try to talk about the Lord, it's, well, I don't want people to think I'm too spiritual. That's how they act. I like talking about the Lord. That's how it ought to be for the people of God. That's my future that I'm looking for. I'm looking for the day whenever He returns, not the day whenever I finally give in to the world. That's not the day that I'm looking for. I'm looking to avoid that day. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. If you're going to be pure in this day, it's going to take diligence. It's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen just, you know, out of the blue somewhere. All of a sudden you're pure. All of a sudden then you've been purified before the Lord. It's going to take a diligent life that is constantly before the face of the Lord, asking for forgiveness and cleansing. He says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins, to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. More important now than ever that you have an altar where you get clean with the Lord. You can't go any day. Most of the time you can't go without going multiple times a day before the Lord. Lord, I couldn't help that I saw that. Please cleanse my heart and my mind of that. It doesn't mean you committed a sin just because something crossed your path that you couldn't help. But you still need to be cleansed of it. It's still wickedness and ungodliness. It's in the world, but it's still wicked. It's still ungodly. If you allow those things to assault your mind, assault your eyes, assault your thought process, and you're not cleansed before the Lord, they will overwhelm you as a Christian. They will corrupt you and they will defile you as Lot was defiled. The Bible says that Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And you can't look around the world we're living in and not see that it's just like Lot's day. The same things that were important to Sodom and Gomorrah are what's important to America. The same things that Sodom and Gomorrah loved are the things that America loves. The same things that Lot struggled with are the same things that the Christians of today are struggling with. While the world's raging in wickedness around them, then we have remained silent behind our door of our house. And just as Lot did, many of us have lost our families. I haven't preached it yet, but if you read in the book of Judges and in the book of Genesis, there's two very similar situations between the angels that came to Lot's house, and there's a man that visited a man, I believe, in the tribe of Dan in the book of Judges chapter 21. And they came to a wicked city, and they stayed at a man's house, just as they did in Lot's day. And the wicked people gathered around and beat the door down and wanted to bring out the visitors so that they could commit ungodliness and wickedness with them. But in the book of Genesis, Lot wasn't going to do anything to them. But there were two angels behind the door that kept them from doing what they wanted. In the book of Judges, it was just Lot's behind the door. That's all it was. There were no angels, no men of God, no powerful people. And I'm afraid in these days, while the world is beating on our door, trying to grab our children, trying to grab our families, trying to wreck our marriages, instead of there being godly people standing behind the door, standing for their family and standing for their marriages, then instead it's just a bunch of Lots that can't stand. They have no testimony, no power. But that's not what you ought to be. That's not what we ought to be. As dark as it is, these ought to be the days that we're stronger than we've ever been. We ought to be closer to the Lord than we've ever been. Not out of some pride, but out of desperation. Because we see how bad things are and we don't want these things to happen. We see the purity that we ought to have in these days. Also the patience. Lastly, the patience that we ought to have. And I'll read these verses, several verses to read, make a few comments, and then I'll be done. We live in a very impatient day. We want everything right now. We have young people, and especially young preachers growing up, and they want everything right now. They want to be famous. They want to have the big churches, or they want to, you know, be in control, whatever it is. They want to make a career out of being a preacher. Very few now just love preaching and want to preach what the Lord says, if I'm being honest with you. Same thing is true with our families and with our homes. People want to be spiritual if they can instantly be a power in the church. That's what they want. That's what the mega churches have done. Anybody comes in, seems to have any interest in the Lord, oh, they'll put them in a Sunday school class right away. Put them up, tell them they're a preacher right away. But the people of God are supposed to have a patience that the world doesn't have. If you're going to make it in these last days, you better have a godly patience. Because things are going to look like that it's going all haywire. That's what it looks like, and that's what it's going to continue to look like. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We ought to be patient, knowing that this delay, as we call it a delay. The Bible doesn't call it that. He says He will come and He will not tarry. The day is already set with the Father, even though we don't know what it is. But this time period that we see and we're desiring for the Lord to come back, you better have some patience, because that time period is a time period of salvation for those who are holding out. There are so many that have put off and put the Lord off and put Him off and put Him off. Time after time, He's dealt with their heart about their condition. He's dealt with their heart about the fact that they're lost and that they don't know Him, that they don't have godly desires. They don't have the Lord living in their heart. Sure, maybe they're moral. Maybe they're good rural people. Maybe they're good people in the community, but they don't have the Lord living in their heart. And that whole time that He's delaying, He may just be a moment away, But that time that he's delaying is for those who don't know him. He says later on, he says, not willing that any should perish, but that all. That's why he hasn't come yet. That's why the day has been set where it has been set. Because God is wanting many as will to come to him. And he's given them many, many chances. He says in 2 Peter 3:15, right after our text here, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. This time period is about the Lord saving people. And that's all that it's about. We got to have patience in these days. It's easy to lose sight as the world and as our society gets worse and worse. I've seen even preachers say, well, I'm done. I'm just going to preach. What they do with it is their business. And sometimes you got to have that attitude. I understand that. But we've lost our care and concern for sinners. We've lost our patience in our burden. Our burden just goes as long as people show an interest. And whenever they don't have an interest, and whenever they seem to reject us, then our burden leaves. Our burden is gone. We don't have any patience anymore for those that unless they repent, then they will spend eternity in hell without God. If we had a vision constantly, if we had an understanding of the judgment seat of Christ and of the eternity that awaits them, our burden wouldn't fade so quick. Our patient burden would last a whole lot longer. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? Romans 2, verses 6 and 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he's going to render eternal life. That's what he said. The people of God, they're not in it for the show. They're not in it for the bright lights and for the big buses and for all the fame and fortune and all of the money and all the TV cameras and all of those things. The people of God, their mark, the thing that marks them, that's not how they earn their salvation, but that's what marks that they are saved, is that they have patience, continuance, and well-doing. If nobody ever knows their name, if nobody ever praises them, if nobody ever gives them national glory, then they're patiently continuing to do what God wants them to do. That's what God's people do. I'm telling you, there are missionaries and men and preachers and wives and ladies and children all throughout the years that have served God and loved the Lord and been a faithful witness and led people to the Lord, and nobody's really ever known their name. They're going to be greatly rewarded in heaven, as the Bible tells us. Being saved and being a Christian, I mean, we need you know, worship and praise just for doing a little something around the church most of the time. If we're going to do anything at all, we've got to have a pat on the back, have our name mentioned from the pulpit, have our name stamped on some kind of pew somewhere, if we're going to do anything for the Lord. We need all kinds of praise and encouragement, but that's not the type of people we ought to be. We ought to be people that are eager, zealous of good works, that are desiring to find something to do for the Lord. Every day, Lord, what can I do today that would be a testimony to those that are around us? Ye are the light of the world. Are you going to shine tomorrow? Are you going to shine on Tuesday? Are you going to shine on Wednesday? If you don't shine, nobody's going to shine. What manner of persons ye ought to be? He says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought and receive a full reward. Many of you have served the Lord a long time. Now's not the time to let up. Now's not the time to sit back in the rocking chair and say, well, we'll let what will be, will be. Now's the time more than ever to haste unto the coming of the day of the Lord that you witness more than you ever have. Many of you have lived a life in this community that's a testimony. And it seems like people have just rejected it. You've witnessed to them for years. You've lived the good way of the Lord in front of them for years. And you see them deteriorate day by day and year by year. And you look at, what are they thinking? Sin's destroyed their life. Can't they see? But you got to have patience to continue, that you lose not the things that you have wrought, that you receive a full reward. Galatians 6, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Can I tell you something? If you're on the fence about serving the Lord tonight, you will receive a reward if you serve Him. The world will sell you a bill of goods. They'll sell you the bright lights and the fame. They'll sell you the Hollywood cameras and all of those things. They'll tell you that you're going to be something that's amazing. They'll promise you fulfillment. They'll promise you happiness. And they'll leave you lacking every time. Movie stars every week, it seems, commit suicide and overdose. Unhappy. Talking about struggling. They're famous beyond their wildest dreams. They have more money than anybody has ever dreamed of, and yet they're unhappy. That's the way of the world. But if you serve the Lord, and if you love Him, and if you follow the Spirit of God, you will receive a full reward. Now's not the time to give in to the world's reward system and the world's pay scale. The wages of sin is still death, even if people aren't preaching it much anymore. Even if we don't believe it anymore. The wages of sin is still death, and the gift of God is still eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. That cut out most of the people today. I think I read a statistic yesterday that I think it's 57% of the people in Kentucky are not engaged in the workforce. That's almost 60%. I can't believe that. I can't believe there's 60% of the 4 million people in Kentucky that don't work. It's unbelievable. And then I look around and I understand it. They're on welfare. There's a lot of things going on there. He says, "This we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye brethren, be not weary in well doing." I've only been saved about 7 years, but my dad's a preacher. I've grown up around Independent Baptist pretty much my entire life. Spent a lot of time away. But I've been around preachers, been around people my entire life. I've seen people get consumed by all kinds of things. All kinds of drama. Preachers divide over all kinds of drama, worse than high school girls. I mean, get mad at each other over stuff doesn't make any sense. Seen churches split over stuff that's stupid. The color of the carpet, color of toilet paper. See them split over something that a preacher said that just in passing that offended one person and they get everybody stirred up. They're busybodies. But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Don't let all that drama consume you. If a preacher's preaching to you the truth, don't let that make you upset. Don't let that make you turn to the side. He's doing that for your good. Well, why don't you ought to have a different perspective than the world does? You can't preach anything to the world now. I mean, they'll try to sue you. Talk about free speech, and then they'll try to sue you for preaching. All right, but you be not weary in well doing. It's just a little while, just a few more days of labor. Just a little while to stay here is the title of the song. Just a little while to wait. Before you know it, I think about now even being saved. The past 7.5, almost 8 years have passed so quickly. My time in the world passed quicker than that. I turned around one day and I was 27. Had no future. Had a college scholarship, 2 scholarships to go. Had gone to college for 4 years, no degree. Very smart in those things. Had no degree, no direction. I was a bartender. That's not a career. You know, that's a miserable life filled with all kinds of terrible things. I turned around and I was 27. I was like, what happened to my life? Just a few days ago, it seemed I was 18. I had my whole life in front of me. I had so much promise. I was going to do all of these great things, and I've done nothing. And the same time with the Lord, I turn around and look, it's just been... just seems like it's been a few days, but the Lord's filled my life with so much purpose and so much joy. I've been able to do things I never was able to do as a lost person, both carnally, I'm not saying wickedly, but you know, carnal, earthly things and spiritually. In just a few days, it's going to seem like we're going to turn around and I'm going to be, you know, I probably won't live to 80, but I'll be 65, 70 years old and my life will be almost over. Same for you. It may seem like right now it's taking forever, but I'm telling you, as the time passes, you grow older, it seems like it's just flown by. and you're going to stand before the Lord. And your life, as James said, is just a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. I promise you, it's worth it to serve the Lord. Just say you're going to buckle down and serve Him. No matter what the world does, no matter what the world says you ought to do, no matter what your friends say, no matter what the pressure is, no matter what you may think in your mind or social media may tell you, or somebody that you look up to may tell you, you ought to be the type of person that God says you ought to be. And you'll have eternal reward for it. Man, if I could somehow put in the minds of young people, young families, older families, middle-aged families alike, if I could somehow transplant into their mind the seriousness and the weight and the gravity of eternity and how rich the riches there are and how pitiful the riches are here, man, it would change our perspective. You can have that same mind. It's found right here in the Scripture. That's where you got to go. What manner of persons you ought to be. As you move ahead, you got a new pastor coming in on Sunday. Praise the Lord. I think that's a good thing. You've been without a pastor for several months. And you got a new direction that you're going to go. Hopefully not a totally new direction, but still following the good way. But you're going to have a new pastor coming in. What manner of persons ought you to be? The best thing you can do for that pastor is be what the Bible says you ought to be. You want to see him fired up and see him serve the Lord, see him preach his guts out, see him work and labor like he's never worked in labor before. Serve the Lord. Get all in on serving the Lord. Go 100% in for the Lord. Not just a little bit, but go all the way in. It'd be amazing what the Lord could do with this place. I believe Brother Ernest said this is the oldest independent Baptist church in the county, I think. First one. 50 years coming up for the Bible conference. The Lord can do so much. He's not even half done with what He wants to do with this place. There's a Mayfield Creek there. This is my last story, I promise, and I'll be gone. There's Mayfield Creek there in Paducah. Brother Terry Norris pastors there. Their church has been around for 200 years. It got down at one point to where they had one lady that was a member of their church, only one lady. And she said, well, we're still going to have church. Started inviting people, invited a preacher to come in. Now they probably run pretty close to 300, filled with young families, shout and love the Lord, and they're doing a great work all around the world. Right? This time period that you have here, this isn't the end. This is just the beginning of what God wants to do later on. You ought to go all in now. This isn't the place where you ought to give up. You ought to see, as we said in the Scripture, what manner of persons you ought to be. God's got some expectations of you, and He has the power to help you fulfill those expectations. Thank you, Brother Ernest.